My title is Living Above the Opposites. And it is a very good title because it gives us a working hypothesis so that we can look out, and whenever we see things that are opposite to God, we can know that these cannot be real. Having been alerted to that, we're on guard. We're aware that whatever is not of God is unreal, and then we learn what to do about it. Now, as usual, Joel is full of many surprises. And one of the surprises at first is that light and darkness are one. Life and death are one. Sin and purity are one. And he goes on and names many opposites and says they're one. And while you're dwelling on that, he comes back and says they are one mortal illusion. You're looking at one invisible spirit and labeling it over here life and over here death, over here sin, over here purity, and the oneness in this case is the illusion. The illusion which splits up that which is one into the appearance of two. And the two are really one invisible perfection. Now, the opposites are very strange. If somebody hears a wrong note in a musical composition, he says, that's a discord. But the reason you know it's a discord is because there is a right note. If there were not a right note, you wouldn't label this a wrong note. Similarly, if you see a shadow, you know it's a shadow only because there is a form somewhere from which this shadow is being formed. If 2 and 2 are not 7, it's only because 2 and 2 are 4. There's always that which is present where the opposite occurs. And so it is with God and mortal man. The only reason there is a mortal man is because God is. Wherever the unreal appears, it is an imitation of the real. There's no such thing as imperfection unless you have a standard of perfection. Now, in God's universe, the only standard is God. And that being the standard, and God being the law, there can be no variation from the standard. And so whatever is of God is the permanent dispensation. Now, I have a little plan here I'd like you to consider. I'd like you to look out 5 feet in front of yourself and realize that everything in that area is spirit, and that all of the qualities of spirit are in that 5 feet in front of you. The vision of spirit, the intelligence, the power, the knowing, the law, the government, the activity. Instead of trying to encompass all of infinity at once, let's just consider these 5 feet in front of you. And let's also say 5 feet behind you. 5 feet to the right of you and to the left of you, above you and below you, so that in every direction from your form, 5 feet away, and all that is within that 5 feet, is pure, incorporeal spirit. It's true outside of the 5 feet too, but let's just stay within a 5 foot range. Now, if you could live that way for one day, investing that 5 foot all around you with the realization of spiritual truth, you would then eliminate the power of the opposites that occur within those 5 feet. For example, because spirit surrounds you 5 feet fore and aft, port and starboard, you have the armor of light in which you are walking. Now, there can be no evil there if you accept that spirit is there. There can be no duality. No virus can invade those sacred precincts because you have accepted it as holy ground. No man-made law can enter. No discord, no condition unlike God. And the more you put into those 5 feet fore and aft, the more you will see that infinity must be present in those 5 feet. For infinity is never divided from itself and is present everywhere. Now you will also find that in those 5 feet is infinite energy, infinite power, infinite mind, infinite life, eternal life. And all this surrounds you so that you are really surrounded by invisible Christhood. Your conscious knowing of this is then the only law that can govern your being. You're under spiritual law because you have accepted only the presence of spirit. Now, the hardest part comes when you come into the form itself, which is in the middle of these 5 feet fore and aft. If you've accepted spirit, then the material form must be dissolved in your consciousness. And you have been practicing that you are the substance of God, and therefore incorporeal spirit is your substance. And every 10 feet, fore and aft, in which you are, consists of pure incorporeal spirit. Now, that is how it was before you became this form. You were consciousness. In your pre-existence, before form, you were consciousness. And this consciousness did a very strange thing. It never changed. It is exactly this moment what it ever was. Where this consciousness was, just as the discordant note comes where the correct note is, or the wrong multiplication of two and two, or the shadow for the form, or the lie for the truth, or the imperfection for the perfection, a body appeared where only consciousness is. The body was the lie about the identity that stood there. The body was a mental image. And the more you dwell in your spiritual substance, the more you may come to feel that the forms which constitute the physical form itself, the organs, the brain, the eyes, the ears, the senses, were formed after you had vision, after you had hearing, not before. Your vision and your hearing was there before there was an eye and before there was an ear. The vision of God did not come after an eye and an ear were created. The vision of God has always existed, and in your pre-existent self, you had vision and you had hearing. And the counterfeit, the imitation of these, became mortal mind's concept of that vision, for which it formed the appearance of a physical eye. Mortal mind's concept of your hearing, for which it formed the appearance of a physical ear. And so on down the body, heart, liver, lungs, were all formed to simulate an activity that was already existent in your consciousness. And then came the form, the fullness of the physical form, in which we now switched consciousness from consciousness to mentality, from consciousness to that which is called the human mind. And this is the beginning of the second chapter of Genesis. This is the fall from your own consciousness, but your consciousness never went away. So now you have another self. A self that is an imitation of yourself. And living in this imitation physical self, unaware of your pre-existent consciousness and its perfect spiritual manifestation, we are separated from spirit, which is God. And we live without contact with God, without contact with the forms that exist in the spirit, and the law, and the harmony, and the truth, and the perfection. And whereas in our pre-existent consciousness, all that existed was only of God, now in a second self, we have imitation powers. Whereas there is no good or evil in God, only the perfection of the Father, we have now whittled this down to our concept of that perfection. And that gives us a long range from hideous to fairly good. We have everything in the realm of evil, everything in the realm of good. We create the opposites that we now experience. Now, in these opposites, we have sin, we have purity. We have life and we have death. We have war and we have peace. We have wealth and we have poverty. We have abundance and lack and so forth. But there is nothing that we do in the material realm that has the slightest effect on reality. There is not one thing we have ever done materially that has in any way changed, influenced, altered, or manipulated reality. Any man who was a great success did nothing to change reality. Any man who was a failure did nothing to change reality. The greatest opposites are spirit, which is real, and matter, which is not. And man, living and swinging between the pendulum of his beliefs, is a victim now of beliefs that have flown through the atmosphere into him, which he is forced to accept. Now he has two powers. He has two lives. He has the life of spirit, which he knows little about, if anything, and the life that he is living, the life that he is clinging to, the life that he will preserve at all cost, the life that is not his life. In these opposites, we naturally try to change the good, make it better. We try to change the evil and make it good. We try to bring a substitute for those things we don't want. And all the time, neither the good or the evil is the creation of God, because God created no good matter and no evil matter. We are now matter-oriented. And the only changes we are trying to accomplish are in the realm of matter. We want more of it. We want healthier matter. We want more comfortable matter, more secure matter. And we want less of that matter, which is called disease or evil or error. Now, to move above the pairs of opposites is to recognize that all matter, whether it's healthy today and unhealthy tomorrow, whether it's gold today or tin tomorrow, whether it's a great home, a castle, or a barge, none of this is God's creation. And we who are spiritually oriented have learned that we must rise above the desire to improve matter, above the desire to heal people, above the desire to make sacrifices and to do good. To a human being, this would sound as if we were going to be very vicious, as if we were going to disobey Scripture. But on the contrary, we're going to obey Scripture, which says, I of mine own self can do nothing. Now, we're not trying to restore bad matter to good. We're not trying to restore bad health to good health. We're not trying to repair broken bones or fallen arches. What we are attempting to do is to accept the presence of God where we stand. In His presence is fullness of joy. Could we ask for more? Is there more? And so we have overcome, at this particular level, the need to seek the power of God. Because we have learned that only the power of God exists. And that the power of God is not needed because there is no power on earth for it to overcome. It cannot overcome any other power, for there is none. There is no opposite to the power of God. We do not have to fear what minds of men can do to us, because we do not accept another mind than the mind of God. In this 5 foot before and behind, we accept only the power of God, the mind of God, the spirit of God, the presence of God, the intelligence of God, the protection of God, the fullness of God. And we learn how to live in non-reaction to those appearances that would challenge our stand. It is very true that as you detach from the material world around you, there is a lessening of the great heights of emotion. But there is also a lessening of the misery. And both are replaced by the awareness that behind the appearances that change, that fluctuate, that vary, that shift, there is an unchanging reality which is dependably the same day in and day out, and which is never less than flawless. There is this inner conviction based upon repeated experiences with it that enable you to feel the stability of life rather than the fluctuations of it. And so we move through this experience unmoved by the changing appearances, knowing that in the Spirit of God, whereon I stand, there are no changes, there is merely progressive unfoldment of newness. The Spirit is ever itself, and its fullness progressively unfolds unto that human intelligence which beholds it. So now we are centered in a spiritual sense of stability, feeling the power that is present, the love that is present, the strength that is present, and we are not concerned about those powers of the world. We don't have to go outside of our 5-foot radius to challenge the world, to change the world, or to defend against the world. Nothing can enter the place whereon thou standest, because when you have accepted God, Spirit, as the substance that surrounds you, all that this world can do is present to you an appearance or a succession of appearances, but those appearances are non-power in the accepted realization of God, Spirit, as the substance of the area in which you stand. You can go anywhere you wish, and the law of Spirit that surrounds you remains that law. Nothing can come nigh thy dwelling. Now this is quite different than most of us have been living. We wake up with the thought, I wonder what today will bring. But with your spiritual awareness, you do not wake up with that thought. You wake up with the realization that today can only bring God activity. And so you're right there at the beginning without the fear or doubt or concern about today, if you are living with fidelity to the spiritual substance that surrounds you. Now you can extend this to your neighbor. What you are learning is true of you, is true of him. And as you crisscross into activity with others, his spiritual atmosphere and yours are merging. And if someone walks into your spiritual atmosphere, they partake of it. Nothing has changed. Now, standing here in this attitude of oneness with Spirit, accepting Spirit to be that which is you and that which surrounds you, you know that there is within this area an instant intelligence greater than the human intelligence, which is ever aware of all within its range, and that there is a power which it maintains, which sustains the perfection and purity and integrity of its own substance, so that you are now surrounded by grace. You are walking in grace, and it makes no difference where you go. My grace is thy sufficiency in all things. My grace will accompany you. My grace can never leave you or forsake you. We are in a state of omnipresent grace. Now think for a moment of the various things that may be your concern tomorrow or the next day, or on your July 4th trip, if you're taking one. You're going to pack certain belongings, certain gear, certain equipment, certain clothing. And all of this is to make possible a pleasant trip somewhere. At the same time, while you're making that trip, at this very moment, we're making another journey, and this journey is an unpacking. Instead of packing equipment, you unpack it. Instead of seeing, you learn to unsee. Instead of knowing, you learn to unknow. Instead of hearing, you learn to unhear. You learn to create the total mental vacuum in which you have no excess baggage of any kind. All that is present in this 10-foot cube that you have constructed is the consciousness of God. There is nothing else there. And everything else that is there is excess baggage. The consciousness of God in a 10-foot cube surrounding your form and where your form is too is all that is present at the moment. And nothing else has ever been present. Consciousness, God, Spirit is all, and in your unseeing, unknowing, unhearing, that which you had thought was there, you have prepared for your journey. Now, in this awareness, you are pure incorporeal spirit. And all that can be present are the qualities of spirit. All that can be present is the activity of infinity. All that can be present is your eternal self, your eternal life, your eternal consciousness, your eternal being. And as you rest in this awareness, you are one with the Father. There are no longer two, and there can no longer be opposites. This is the truth of our being. And when we envision opposites in our experience, we are not in the truth of our being. And that is why the opposites invade us. Now we're unpacking. The lie cannot be here because in the pure consciousness of God, which is all that is present, only truth can be. And therefore every lie is non-present. It can only be a false appearance. Every discord is non-present. Every form of error that occurs where you stand must be a non-presence, because only the presence of God can be where you stand. Your conscious awareness of this becomes the law of spirit functioning where you stand. And so David becomes greater than Goliath. Your size is of no consequence, because God's size is infinity, and only God can be where you appear. Now, this is the consciousness, then, of the fourth dimension. This is the relinquishing of the three-dimensional consciousness, which says the truth and the lie both exist, the pain and the good health both exist, the death and the life both exist. All of this is part of the human illusion. Spirit and matter do not both exist. And as we accept the presence of God, which is spirit, we also unaccept the presence of matter, knowing they cannot coexist. We stand as our incorporeal self under the law of spirit, not subject to the laws of men. We can even look at the law of gravity, for example, and see that gravity does not apply to my identity. It applies to the physical concept that men have of themselves. It applies to their material concepts of objects. You take an airplane and go back to Kitty Hawk and get it off the ground for a few minutes. And man, at that moment, unknown to himself, it had a second in which he perceived that you can break the law of gravity. Actually, he was perceiving that there is no law of gravity. And as he broke that so-called law and came up to the present moment when these super colossal weights rise in the sky, you may ask yourself, what is there that can be called a law of gravity that can hold God on the ground? What law of gravity can hold spirit on the ground? Therefore, if I am spirit, what law of gravity can hold me on the ground? And then you will know there is no law to hold the spirit that you are on the ground. And if you will dwell in silence on this, you may find yourself in flight, in the very realization that you're not on the ground. You may feel a sensation of flight, and you will realize you have never been on the ground. You aren't on the ground now. There is no person on the ground. There is spirit, and it is not grounded. It is not earthbound. It is everywhere. And your spirit is everywhere, and your consciousness of that will become your expansion of consciousness. You will then see that all of the physical attributes that we have called our own are imitations of the infinite qualities of God, which are our infinite qualities. This 10 feet that surrounds you is filled with a vision of God. Perfect vision is there. Perfect hearing. Perfect knowing. And if a person does not have vision or hearing, it is because there is an individual there who has not yet been able to unpack, unknow, unsee, unhear, and is still taking many concepts on their journey with them. There is no opposite to the vision of God, and it is present in this 10 feet that surrounds you. There is no opposite to the abundance of God, to the fulfillment of God, to the truth, the love, the beauty, the harmony. Our consciousness of this becomes the appearance of it in our human world. As you are incorporeal spirit, you set into motion that law of grace which is ever present and is ever functioning. God is about God's business. God is running a perfect universe. There is nothing that we have done in the material world that is going to change God's activity. It is we who step out of the material world to discover that God's activity is ours only when we are in God's universe, knowingly. When you are incorporeal spirit, you are God's business. When you are matter, you are not God's business. And that is why matter shows forth its irregularities. Now, to be sure that we are God's business, we must be in God's kingdom. When we accept incorporeal selfhood, a non-material self, we are rejecting the mental images that men call form. We are living in cause and not in effect. When we accept ourselves as material being and look out with human eyes, these eyes are effects. These eyes are material eyes. And when you see the world through an effect called the human eye, all you can see and experience are effects. You never get source that way. You never get to the one that way. The effect called eye, the effect called ear, can only experience the effects called this world. But your Father's kingdom, your kingdom, if you are one with the Father, is the place where I now stand. And so we must now sanctify that place whereon we stand with the conscious knowing that there has never been a moment, nor can there ever be, when the place whereon I stand is not the pure Spirit of God. And that which stands on this place is the pure Spirit of God. And the form that appears there is an implementation that I will let my consciousness use. And so now we're transferring our awareness from this form that stands here, and we are this 10-foot cube of consciousness. Momentarily, this cube of consciousness that I am is no longer a 3-ounce brain, but a 10-foot cube. I've enlarged it just so that it's within the range of understanding at the moment. Instead of working out of a little infinitesimal 3 ounces, we're working out of 10 cubic feet. Actually, 10,000 cubic feet. 10, 10, 10. 1,000. And now we've got quite a sizable consciousness here. And the decisions that come must come out of this consciousness and not out of the brain. Out of this consciousness and not out of the physical form. So that this consciousness will then give an impulse to the form and tell it what to do. Now, to live in this consciousness for just a short time of an incorporeal consciousness which surrounds and which has intelligence, because it is God consciousness, which has all knowing, all vision, all power, because it is God consciousness, you are accepting that this 10 cubic feet around you is the allness of God consciousness, and that this little capsule called a physical form is just a little spot in the middle of it. You're not in the capsule, you're in the consciousness. The consciousness is your consciousness. And if you will strive to come into a feeling of that, once you have experienced this consciousness, you'll realize that this is the consciousness you must continue to strive to experience daily. Once you have come up to this larger consciousness, taking the play away from the brain, resting in it, knowing that the form is in that consciousness, and that consciousness is one with the infinite, you'll see that that consciousness we're building here now is the vine. I am the vine. And if you would come to the Father, you must come through me. This consciousness knows nothing of opposites. It only knows reality. It only knows itself. And as you rest in this consciousness, you are immaculate. Nothing can enter this consciousness to defile it. It is immune to hypnosis. It does not react to an adversary. It does not strive to be a do-gooder. It does not try to help anyone. There is no one to help. It does not strive to manipulate. It defends against no power on this earth because it is the only. In this consciousness, you are one with the Father. And this consciousness is larger than your human form. Your human form is in this consciousness. And as you get to know this consciousness, you will find that you can then expand it out to infinity. Until you know that your consciousness and infinity are one and the same. But start with these 5 feet fore and aft. You find you can build this consciousness, you can be alert to it, you can know that nothing can enter, for this is the truth of the omnipresence of God. It is as if you're walking with a 10-foot aura surrounding you. Now, after I tried this a while, I found I didn't have to try it. It began to act of itself. In about an hour or two, you can feel that. You find yourself moving somewhere, and you'll be aware not of this little area your form occupies, but of the 10-foot area around you. It's kind of like an enchanted circle. It's the circle of divine consciousness you're expanding your awareness into at the moment. In it, there is no darkness. In it, there is no fear. And if you really accept it, you'll find in it there can be no permanent suffering, no permanent lack, no permanent limitation. Everything that comes within range of you will be shortened in its tenure by your realization of this present, perfect consciousness of God, in which your form appears to be walking. Now, to this consciousness, sin and purity are one because it does not see either one of them. It sees that which is there and not the sin and the purity or the purity which the human mind had seen. To this consciousness, life and death are one because it sees neither human life nor human death. It only sees spiritual life. To this consciousness, war and peace are one illusion. Two opposite ends of the same illusion. You see, in this consciousness, you don't try to change war into peace. Because in this consciousness, there is only the peace of the Father. Instead of war, and then a peace, and then a recurring war, and then alternate periods of peace and war, there is a non-changing, permanent peace. Instead of changing health so that sickness becomes an interval between periods of health, and health becomes an interval between periods of sickness, we find in this consciousness both health and sickness are one illusion, two illusions of matter, neither one being the reality. The incorporeal form, the incorporeal self, is never changing. It is always its own God-being. Now, as this becomes a permanent consciousness, you find this consciousness feeds you. It not only feeds you food, it feeds you life. It feeds you spiritual power. It feeds you harmony and beauty and truth. It feeds you the various forms that are in the mind of God. This is the meat. And now, when you're in this consciousness, you are partaking of that meat which the world of sense formations knows nothing about. This is the Word. And now, instead of living by the belief of your senses, you're living by the Word, which is this consciousness that here is incorporeal spirit surrounded by itself. One with the infinite now, always true, always will be. Now, we should have a great stability from this and an ability to rest in the consciousness, in the Word, knowing that the law of God sustains me at all times. We should be able now to look at opposites when they occur, as they will, and recognize them as the outpicturing of the world human consciousness, clamoring for my acceptance, which I will not give them. I do not defend against these opposites. You do not heal anything. You recognize that every opposite to a quality of God can only be a mental image, non-existent in reality, and your sole interest is living in reality. You recognize no two powers. There is no power over the power of God to maintain a perfect universe. And therefore, every evil, every error, every discord is a false image, a pretender, a false prophet, an antichrist, a material thing claiming to have life, but there can be no life in it because the only life is God life, my life. And that life being perfect, that which pretends to have an imperfect life is not life, and therefore is not there. Our constant awareness is that God is here running a perfect universe where I stand. There are no opposites in spirit. There is no two in spirit. There's only one. The rest of it is standing. Now, as we stand here, we're being born. We are returning to pre-existence. We are learning that the pre-existent consciousness, which I ever was and which is ever here, is slowly becoming my own realization again, and I am dropping that false physical consciousness which entertained the belief of powers and entities other than God. I am dropping my material consciousness. And I am now the pre-existent one consciousness called the Son of God, which I never ceased being. And I must now, without ceasing, remain alert to this, and that is called prayer. My ever unceasing awareness that I am the incorporeal Son of God and nothing else is prayer. And now I am joint heir. I am claiming my inheritance as the perfect child of God. In this consciousness, Christ is rising. The consciousness of Christ within me is rising, and the tomb of material beliefs will soon be no more. It will be burst by the rising Christ of my consciousness. And you will find the awareness that I am not in a place or in a time. Matter is in a place. Matter is in a time. But with matter not being real, time and space become equally unreal to your new consciousness. Neither time, space, or matter to you have reality. Nothing in a material form to you has reality. And you can see now that all is invisible consciousness, and you can commune with the consciousness of every individual on the earth. You know that their consciousness is the Son of God, and that the counterfeit world mind has imitated the qualities of consciousness and brought forth a form where they stand, which they have accepted. But you are redeeming that form, just as you have redeemed your own. It's as if you had green stamps and you went to the redeeming house to get merchandise for them. You redeem the stamps. Well, here you redeem the material appearance. Through your awareness of truth, you trade that material appearance in for the spiritual reality that is there. It is redeemed. You are unmasking matter. And you are living and addressing a spiritual consciousness which is your neighbor. A spiritual consciousness which is the forest, or the ocean, or the sky, or the earth. You're accepting the spiritual unseen reality and communing with it, becoming one with it. You're moving into another universe, a universe unseen by the human consciousness. And in order to do so, you have had to leave behind you your belief in the existence of matter. And now this invisible universe welcomes you. It is a reality. It is the kingdom of God. and you walk in it consciously on earth, even though in a measure, but you know you have found it. You know you have never left it, except in a false consciousness. And now you're in the state of expectancy. You see, this is what we've been moving toward, for this is the beginning of life. Life begins in the birth of Christ consciousness, the birth of the awareness that the invisible kingdom of God here now is all that is here now.